This evening we're going to be back in Psalm 119. Psalm 119, looking at verses 33 to 40. And that's found on page 651 of your pew Bibles. Psalm 119, beginning with verse 33. Hear the word of the Lord. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I will keep it to the end. Give me understanding, that I may keep your law and observe it with my whole heart. Lead me in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to your testimonies, and not to selfish gain. Turn my eyes from looking at worthless things, and give me life in your ways. Confirm to your servant your promise, that you may be feared. Turn away the reproach that I dread, for your rules are good. Behold, I long for your precepts. In your righteousness, give me life. Again, it's been a few months since we last dealt with Psalm 119, and hopefully this summer we'll make it a bit of progress through this while Luke's away in South Sudan. But just as a reminder, the psalm is the longest psalm, and it contains more verses than any other chapter found in the Scriptures. In it, the psalmist sings the praises of the Word of God, and either directly or indirectly refers to the Word in 174 of the 176 verses. Perhaps we might be tempted to think that that's a bit repetitive. Yet throughout the psalm, the singular focus serves to remind us of our need and of the immensity of God's demonstrated love and faithfulness to have preserved for us His revelation. As the psalmist writes of this treasure, against that, we are confronted with our natural tendencies and the misery and the pain that so often accompany our own weak efforts and intentions. So let's look at our passage this evening. Verse 33, the psalmist cries out, "Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I will keep it to the end." What is it that causes the psalmist to begin this section of the psalm by calling on God to teach him? His cry implies that there is a new lesson needed, that what the psalmist knew, or those things in which he naturally excelled, are not the ways of righteousness, but of sin and transgression of the law of God. The natural inclinations of man's heart are described in Genesis 6:5. Where we read, "The Lord saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was evil continually." In this verse, the psalmist is crying out for a new teacher and acknowledging his own inability and incapability to himself bring about a reformation of life that would be to the satisfaction of our holy God. He says, "Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes." The psalmist is too acquainted with the hardships, the pain, the confusion of his efforts in sin to carve out his own path. He now has been brought to a place that he cries out for a teacher and a guide. Having tasted of the futility of his own pursuits, now he longs for the teacher to open his eyes to the perfections of the commands of God intended for his creature's benefit. We see in the utterance of the psalmist a recognition that apart from the active work of God to enliven men, women, and children that are naturally dead in their transgressions and who traverse his creation impeded by eyes that cannot see and ears that cannot hear and minds that cannot understand, it's imperative that the Lord not only repair these things, but that He Himself would lovingly guide us by the work of His Spirit through His Word, that we might grasp it and write it upon our minds and our hearts, that we might call it forth day by day. Charles Bridges, in commenting on this verse, likens our condition to that of a blind man, and that no amount of light increases a blind man's ability to see. A blind man cannot see at noontime, he writes. He remains blind unless his sight is restored. And here the psalmist is crying out for sight. When I was at the seminary and the years were spent in study, at the end of it, it served more to make one more aware of how little one knew and the vastness of insight that was still needed from God. Here, the psalmist's cry is one that should also be our own. As we would reflect upon our lives and grasp our remaining sinful tendencies and yearn and cry that He would be pleased to mold and shape us according to His Word. Bridges says this should be a repeated cry of every Christian, that God would be pleased to teach us, for we've never yet fully arrived. Verse 34. Give me understanding that I may keep your law and observe it with my whole heart. Next, the psalmist pleads with God not to merely see that His word is able to be recalled or recited, but that God would be pleased to grant the creature a true understanding of the whole counsel of God, that the man of God might marvel at the riches of the word of God so completely tailored that his revelation, that he might marvel at the riches of the Word of God so completely tailored, his revelation to attend to every facet of faith and life. No part of our lives or our spiritual needs have gone unattended by God in His Word. Prior to the fall of man in the garden, he enjoyed an understanding of the will of his Creator. Yet, we read in the Westminster Confession, by this sin they fell from their original righteousness and communion with God, and so became dead in sin and wholly defiled in all the faculties and parts of soul and body. And our confession speaks to the conceit of the mind that knows not its present danger and folly, but flies headlong toward that precipice, toward utter destruction. The psalmist recognizes that apart from God's granting wisdom and understanding, he would know nothing. And it's impossible for us to teach something that we know absolutely nothing about. So corrupting is our sin, and so far-reaching is it that we need the Creator to draw us out of the darkness and into the glorious light of Christ as described in John 8:12. That we might see and know the truth and be enabled to go forth to speak of those things which He has been pleased to teach us. And for you and I, we must also cry out to God for understanding, but not just once. Though He does grant to all who would ask Him, James chapter 1 verse 4 invites us to cry out to God for wisdom. But we never content ourselves to the little that we have been pleased to grasp by His good grace. Instead, we should seek continually from Him ever greater lessons from the Word that would so incline our hearts to follow after Him each day. Note, the psalmist isn't only looking for a half-hearted observation of the Word. The psalmist isn't content to compartmentalize his life and have one segment concerned with the Word, but rather he wants to see his entire life defined, led by, shaped by the Word of God. Verse 35. Lead me in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Now, the writer not only doesn't trust in his own ability to grasp, to learn, or to observe rightly the things of God, but he also recognizes his place as a sheep to follow his shepherd. In John chapter 10, we read about our good shepherd. Again, this isn't our natural inclination. Though we were created to be worshipers of God from the beginning of the garden, man chose to forget his place and instead to exercise his own will and to strike out on his own path. And even today, in this corner of God's creation, we tend not to want to be led, but rather to choose our own way. We are independent, often fancying ourselves to be self-sufficient, self-governing, perhaps even self-taught. However, the psalmist cries out to God to be his shepherd, his guide, and he seeks for God to lead him. Again, just as in John 10, the sheep knows the voice of the shepherd, and they follow him. And the longer the sheep follow in the path laid out by the shepherd, they increasingly associate his faithfulness to that voice in taking them from places of dusty dryness to satisfying pasture, from refreshing stream to refreshing stream. And the one who provides for them security from attack and that allows them to lay down and rest. Verse 36, incline my heart to your testimonies and not to selfish gain. Yet still the psalmist, though calling out for the Lord's teaching and granting of understanding and his hand guiding him along the path, knows that it is still a great struggle to abandon his own tendencies to be self-seeking and to pursue his own desires. The psalmist knows that he urgently needs the Lord to replace those natural tendencies with a heart that is tied to the Lord in such a way that the will of God is his highest pursuit and his greatest delight. That though in this life he may have nothing, that he knows God and be given the mind to know that the ways of the Lord ultimately yield for his people the very best. We focus on what is to come. We train our eyes like Christian upon that celestial city with all the speed that God is pleased to allow. Verse 37. Turn my eyes from looking at worthless things and give me life in your ways. Along the same lines here, the writer seeks to focus on only the best things, to not be drawn aside by those things that glitter around us, or to be drawn off course by those things that pass away and are of little consequence. You see, the psalmist, as well as all mankind, has faced what you and I face today. There have always been countless things that would seek to pull our eyes away from Christ. There have always been countless alluring things that would hope to capture our hearts. But as God is pleased through the accomplished work of Christ to grant us new life, to enliven our faculties, to taste of the heavenly things, he would have us be singular in our focus and resolute in our pursuit of his promises. And though we may walk in the midst of a great brokenness and much pain, may it be our desire that he would be pleased to use us as living witnesses of his loving care and provision, that our families, our neighbors, our co-workers, and even those who wish us harm would marvel and be drawn to the peace that he allows when the chaos all around us falls away and we are so drawn into the path that he has laid out and that we know will yield an eternity of communion with our God. We read in Philippians chapter 3, verse 8, indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, that I may share in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible, I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own. Because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Brothers and sisters, that same sense is what we have been confronted with this evening in this section of Psalm 119. The psalmist has his eyes trained upon God. He has his hope upon that life that is to come. He is clinging to the promise of God sending the Messiah into the world. We know that God has fulfilled that promise and has sent his Son into the world, our Savior. And so we delight just as the psalmist, and we train our eyes upon him with the hope that he will see us securely to the end of this race for the glory of Christ, and that he will continue to strengthen us day by day as he impresses his word upon us. Let's look to him in prayer. Almighty God, we thank you again that you have so lovingly entrusted to us your revelation, the Word of God, that it speaks to all of these matters where each of us struggle. For Lord, it is not our natural inclination to give over control. Lord, we, like our forefather Adam, like to think that we can do better than you. And so, Lord, we pray that you, through the work of your Holy Spirit, would impress upon us day by day the great blessing it is to be led by you, and the great blessing that you have provided us in your word that speaks to all matters of faith and life to guide us and direct us and see us through every difficulty that you put along our path. Lord, that we may see you as our good shepherd, and that we would have ears that are attuned to your voice and delight to follow that voice wherever you would lead us, knowing that you ultimately will lead us to wonderful pastures, refreshing drink, and to a peace that is everlasting with you. Guide and direct us. Use us, Lord, as your ambassadors. As you write your word upon our heart, we pray that you will give us opportunity to apply it and to speak about it this week to those you put across our path. May it be a comfort to them as it is a comfort to us. And Lord, may we return here again next week, ready to testify to the ways that you have been pleased to use us, giving us opportunity to speak and opportunity to see your hand at work in the lives that you have put across our path. We pray all of these things in the name of Christ. Amen.